Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There is no better group of ones for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. I hope you had a very enjoyable Christmas and you're looking ahead to the new year and raring to go. Today, I'll be speaking to the president of the Horticultural Trades Association and the owner of Taylor's Bulbs, fourth generation flower bulb business. It's Adam Taylor. Thanks again to our sponsor, Sutton Seeds, and of course to my producer, Charlie Jones. Some of the news this week is a bit depressing. Apparently there's a disease called rose rosette virus. And this virus is transmitted by a tiny four-legged mite. And the mite can be blown about in the wind. It can travel from country to country on rose bushes or cut roses. And we can even bring it in on our clothes. I mean, in America and Canada, there are rose gardens, quite important rose gardens, that have had to be grassed over because of the introduction of this virus. It attacks the young growth and makes it all distorted. I hope to have a picture of it in the paper on Saturday. It's actually spread now. They've had examples of it found in India. And, of course, the cut flower rose business is now international. Enormous quantities are shipped from Colombia, Kenya, Israel and India. And the transmission of these dangerous mites and the disease they carry is really, really worrying. Up in Newcastle University, they're having a look at it and seeing what they can do to control the mite and to prevent the spread. We just need to be careful when we're travelling to be sure not to bring back plant material that has any risk of disease. Now, when it comes to the garden, between Christmas and the New Year, there are a few days to catch up. I've just really sorted out my large compost bin. I've got several of them, one, two, three, four, five, yes, six compost bins, but one's a really big one. I got that emptied, and the compost that's very well rotted in the bottom has all been heaped on the veg garden, ready to dig in. I always have a biggish heap of prunings. I don't know, my garden's not that big, but the hedge prunings, the rose prunings, odd lumps coming off shrubs and stems of raspberry, all that kind of thing builds up. And if the weather is bright and it's all nice and dry, I need to get the incinerator going to just burn that as cleanly and as quickly as possible. It does deliver quite a bit of wood ash. And of course, at this time of the year, if you've got dry wood ash from a bonfire or a wood-burning stove, it's worth storing it. If you put it on the ground now, the potash is really very soluble and just washes out in the drainage water. So just keep it dry and then apply it to anything that needs potash, things like roses and all of the edible apples and pears. And of course, tomatoes, potatoes, they all like a bit of extra potash. If you've got a cold greenhouse or a polytunnel, whenever you can, just open the doors or the vents. And certainly, whenever it's bright and sunny, try and get some air through any of those enclosed spaces. It just dries the surface of the leaves and presents those botrytis and soft rots that are so common in damp, cold greenhouses at this time of year. And in the paper this coming Saturday, we've got an offer on a frost protection fleece. I use fleeces increasingly. if you cover the ground after you've sown all of those early spring veg, it's surprising how a bit of fleece raises the temperature several degrees, improves the germination, and speeds the establishments of plants. Of course, it has a second benefit. If you've sown things like carrots, then it will protect from carrot fly and all the other pests that are on the wing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
My guest this week is Adam Taylor, who is the fourth generation of Vardinka, our best UK bulb producer up in Spalding, a great history, company celebrating its centenary shortly. Adam, how are things up in Lincolnshire today? It was pretty cold with us down here on Saturday, but a bit better here today.
It was pretty fresh up here as well, Peter. There was a bit of a frost on the ground on Sunday morning, that's for sure, but beautiful blue skies and sunshine today, so it makes everyone have that feel-good factor.
Yes, wonderful. Now, can you sort of set the scene for us a bit? I mean, would it be fair to describe you as farmers or bulb growers, or what would be the description, and how big is the operation up there?
Well, we are farmers. We farm cereals, so wheat, and we also farm potatoes, sugar beet and cauliflowers, but our specialist crop that we rotate everything around is daffodils. So we are a bulb farmer, as well as the bulbs, of course, we also get the flowers. And then we have a sister trading business, which is known as Taylor's Bulbs, and we supply retailers all over the UK and Ireland. And we supply pre-packed bulbs into garden retailers, as well as gift kits as well.
Usually, if I see big racks of pre-packed bulbs in the autumn, well, and the spring, if I look on the back, I can see Taylor's, can't I? The name's, you know, the brand isn't promoted very highly, but you can see it on the packs.
Yes, it's most in particularly garden retailers, garden centres that we've always concentrated on. And we do deal with a number of high street retailers as well. Yeah. Where, of course, their brand is more important than ours. But sometimes we're the company behind it. But Taylor's is a brand name that we are particularly proud about. But it's not necessarily the reason that somebody would pick up the bulbs necessarily in the first place. So we have to recognise that the picture comes first and the reputation comes after that.
Yeah, we need to know what we're buying. Now, in conversation very briefly with your father, John, he gave me to understand that last summer was the worst harvest he remembers for Narcissus bulbs.
Yes, certainly was. Worst on record, unfortunately, since we started taking and keeping records. It was pretty horrific.
And the problem there would be the late, wet, cold spring and then a sudden switch to high temperatures, presumably.
That's right, and the daffodils are 2 years in the ground, so it was actually also the impact of the previous spring, where spring came very early and was very warm and dry, which was fantastic gardening weather, but not very good for daffodil growing. We want some long days with plenty of sunshine, but we don't want hot temperatures, and we definitely need moisture. So up here in South Lincolnshire, we don't irrigate our crops unless you build yourself a reservoir, and that can it requires a pretty significant investment in itself. So we rely on Mother Nature to provide everything, and unfortunately we were hit with two bad spring growing seasons in a row, and that just worked against us.
And so what happens now? I mean, if we have a reasonable spring and more moderate early summer, can the crops catch up? I mean,
we hope so. We hope so. Records tell us that that should occur. So if in the first year we didn't get the growth and the splitting, then hopefully we'll see that in the second. It may well be that the bulbs either grow into single, very large bulbs, or they'll split. But then when they split, they'll be into smaller bulbs. But we just can't tell. The thing with any bulb growing is that the bulb will do all of its growth after it's flowered, and so therefore it will be way after flowering into late April and into May and June before we can really start to see what the crop is doing under the ground. That's when the leaves are doing their bit.
Goodness, that's quite a gamble, isn't it?
You have to just leave it up to, as I say, up to Mother Nature to dictate to us what we're going to get. But you're right. You can predict based on averages. You can predict based on the past. But there is a good degree of gamble on it.
I mean, the crop that you lift next summer, if we get a reasonable spring, that will have had one good year. But then presumably in 2020, it'll be the crop that you planted this year, won't it?
Yeah, so the bulbs that we'll lift in 2020 would have been planted in this September. So there's a long way to go yet. Their first year of growth will occur in this coming spring of 2019, and then their second year of growth will then be in the spring of 2020 before harvesting in the summer of 2020.
And if we have an average sort of season, or two average seasons, I should say, do you think you'd be back to normal harvests then for 2020?
I would have thought so, yes. I mean, we protected our growing stock. We had to do that for the future of our business. And the temptation was to make sure that we supplied everything that we had sold. But if we would have done that, we would have no future to the business. So you can't do that. You can't turn a machine on and just make a few more. So we had to protect our growing stocks. And so in which case then, if the growing years are successful, then there'll be every reason why the yields will be absolutely normal and everything will correct itself in time. That's not the case for every bulb grower out there. Some people took the opportunity to sell more than maybe they should have done, or indeed they capitalized on the high market at that time and took a different view. But for us, we were all about the future. Being a fourth-generation family business, we wanted to make sure that we were here in the years to come and still doing the same thing.
Yeah. But now, as well as the narcissus and the spring flowering bulbs, you're also into the summer flowering bulbs, aren't you? So what's the situation with things like dahlia and gladiolus and all of those colour lilies, all the colourful pre-packs that will be arriving at the retailers in a month or so?
Yes, they're on their way. Things are coming through the sheds at the moment. And the harvest is nearly complete with a lot of the summer flowering bulbs. The general consensus is that the dahlia harvest has not been particularly special, a bit like potato growing. Any tuberous plant with a lack of moisture struggled. And so even if the tops looked quite good and the plants looked quite good in the garden, the tuber didn't really grow under the ground. So dahlias are not enjoying the best of harvests. But surprisingly, bulbs such as gladiolus have actually thrived in the hot conditions, and where they've been able to have the necessary inputs given to them, they've done very well. So it will be nothing significantly different. It's not a season of plenty, but by the time the bulbs are in the garden centres, there won't realistically be much difference.
So that's reasonable news, yeah.
Absolutely. We've always got to be optimistic.
In this business, without question, yes. Yeah, every day, perhaps the weather will be better tomorrow.
Yeah, always think that.
This coming year, 2019, is a very special one, isn't it, for O&A Taylor? I mean, you were formed in 1919, so what are you doing for the centenary?
Yeah, we are going to have a special day on the 10th of April, which I'm excited to tell you about. So we're going to have a daffodil day that we are organising in conjunction with the RHS. And we're going to be hosting that here at Taylor's Bulbs near Spalding, where anybody can attend. There'll be a small charge for a ticket with some special guest speakers and an opportunity to see what it is that we do here, have a good look around our trial plot and one of our fields, which has over 400 varieties in this one field. So there'll be plenty to see. 10th of April, our Daffodil Day will be our headline centenary event. So we're looking forward to it, and I hope you'll attend.
I would certainly be pleased to attend and would like to attend. And when you talk about 400 varieties, I mean, is that the Johnny Walker activity part of that? I mean, if we come and see something exciting or a colour that attracts our eye in the 400, would we be able to order them?
Oh, yes. Yeah, the field in question happens to have the Walker's Bulbs collection planted in it. And so, yes, there'll be plenty of opportunity to browse such a vast spread of narcissus that we hope will be in flower on that day, and be able to order them if you fancy them. There's plenty more to see in terms of our main crop production as well. So there's some of the more standard varieties still to be able to wonder at when they're planted en masse, and you see the great big landscape of daffodil flowers here in the fens. It's quite a sight to behold.
I'm sure it is. And you've got your magic wand pointing at the 10th of April, have you? I mean, what happens if we have a very early season or a very late season? There'll still be things to see?
Well, we've not picked the 10th just by mistake. We've picked it because we feel it's the best judgment. So we've got daffs that are in flower all the way from January all the way through to May. So the 10th April is the date where we feel we're going to have a good selection. There's every hope that there'll be plenty to see on that day. There'll certainly be something.
Yeah, I'm sure there will.
It should just be right at the peak if everything falls into place. So yes, that's not been just picked out of error. That day is picked on purpose as the one where we hope we'll have the most to see.
Now, Adam, you have other responsibilities as well as your duties with the family business. You're currently president of the Horticultural Trades Association.
That's right, yes. I was kindly asked to join the board of the Horticultural Trades Association and then to become president as well, which I'll continue until September of 2019.
I mean, and gardeners will be aware of the HTA through the gift token scheme, won't they? That's where the association meets the public.
It is, yeah. So it's a trade association for its members. It represents the horticultural trade with key stakeholders, such as government decision makers. Yes, we administer the National Garden Gift Voucher and card schemes, and have done so since the 1960s. So it's a very robust gifting scheme, which is found in garden retailers all over the country, and Christmas, of course, is a peak period of activity for the gifting scheme.
Major time,
but it's very important for our members.
And on the government lobbying, I mean, do you twist your father's arm on occasion? So I mean, because he's quite a big noise in the House of Lords, isn't he?
he is, but I don't. We never have done. I'm one of two sons. My eldest brother took on my father's political interest, and I took on the bulb growing, farming, and trading business interest. And so we don't talk politics that much, funnily enough. And people might find that quite hard to believe, but I wouldn't embarrass him to ask him to give me information that I'm not allowed to have. It's not appropriate, and it's not the way that we work. But of course, he has a lot of experience of the bulb trade. He knows what things were like before we joined the EU. So he knows what life was like then, and so therefore he's been a great help to help us prepare for potentially the life outside of the EU coming up in 2019.
Yeah.
We think it is.
Well, Adam, I'm afraid I'm of an age which remembers quotas. we could, you know, when we came out after the Second World War, when the pound was really on the floor, you could only buy a set quantity of bulbs as a percentage of what you bought in 1939. And yeah. I remember the Dutch salesman coming over, you know, and it was a major point of negotiation whether you had had enough quota to buy. Yeah.
Yeah, well, going back to the garden gift scheme, that's when that started. It was a way of trying to get people to get back into garden spending rather than using their outdoor areas for food production, of course.
Yeah,
So it all links together with that the quota basis that you're talking about as well.
Yeah, but then you have yet another responsibility with the Springfield Horticultural Society.
I know they keep racking up, don't they? I try to keep myself entertained. The Springfield Horticultural Society is a pleasure to be involved in because my father and my grandfather were both involved and various other members of our family have also been involved as well.
In the past, the Spalding Flower Parade in spring was a major tourist thing. That's a thing of the past now, isn't it? What do you do now as the Springfield Horticultural Society?
Yeah, sadly, the flower parade no longer runs in Spalding, and it was dropping attendances and increasing costs meant that it was just no longer viable. The Horticultural Society also ran a gardens, a sort of a miniature Kirchenhof bulb fields, 20 acres of bulb fields in Spalding, and it was phenomenal in its time. I remember as a child walking around with thousands of people looking at all the beautiful flowers there. But again, attendance dropped, costs increased, and so the society had to take a look at what it does. So now the land is in partnership with a retail development company, and so since 2004 there's been a retail development on the same site at Spalding. It's called Springfields. And then alongside that are the gardens. That was part of the planning stipulation. It was part of what the Horticultural Society insisted upon, was that the gardens were able to be maintained as a result of contribution from the retail park. So we administer both the gardens, which are free for everybody to walk around and browse all year round whenever they happen to be shopping at Springfields. And also we run an exhibition business. As well as part of our charitable concern. So what we're aiming to achieve is we're aiming to keep promoting horticulture in the Spalding area, not just flower bulbs as was, but we've broadened that into horticulture, and that's the aim of the charity.
Thought for the day. A garden is a good friend, always welcoming and generous in the response to the gift of time. Yes, you certainly can't give them too much time. Gardens just sop it up. And boy, yes, if you give it time, you don't half get some joy and harvest. Thanks again to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this podcast. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.